good to me. I thank him for being so good, and we have a lot to be thankful for. Now let's turn in our Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. I've been looking at the evil day. It says in verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." I want to stand in the evil day. I'm convinced with all my heart we're living in an evil day. Now, whether it's the one exactly that Paul had in mind or not, I don't know. But I'll just be honest, it's plenty evil to suit me. If we're not in the one he's talking about, I'm not sure I want to get there. But I've looked at several different things, mostly about the armor, of course. But I kept reading, and notice what it says in verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." This is a separate part as far as the armor. This is not included in the armor, but it surely is included in Paul's talking about how we stand. I've talked about the evil day being a day of trouble. There's no doubt we're in the day of trouble. It's a day of temptation. The devil's not going to lose this opportunity to try and tempt us to do wrong or to quit God. It's also not only a day of trouble and temptation, but it's a day of testing. The Lord's allowed this to happen for a reason, to test us, to help us to mature, to show us ourselves. It's also a day of triumph. I'm glad there's help to be had. That's what these verses are talking about. That's what the armor's for. That's what praying's all about. But it's also a day of trusting. And that's what we've looked at this last time. We've talked about the fact that we must trust the Lord. He tells us to put on the armor. In other words, trust something other than yourselves. But then he adds, and by the way, as I've said, he connects it. It isn't separate. He says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." As I've said, this may not be a part of the armor, but I guarantee you it's needed. Even during Paul's day, the soldiers, before they went out to battle, would pray to their God. It may have not been the God of heaven. It may have not been Jehovah, but they would pray to their God and ask their God to help them. You see, even they knew that they needed help. They knew that as important as that armor was, and the sword and all that's going on, as important as those things were, they knew they needed help from somewhere else. And friend, if they understood that, surely we ought to. Them praying to their God showed that they were not trusting in their armor or their ability. And friend, I'll say it again, if they did, surely we should. We cannot trust our armor. We cannot trust our ability. Friend, we need help from God. And we get that help from prayer, through prayer. I want to tell you, today's soldier says, "I'm going to rely on myself. I'm going to trust my training. I'm going to trust my strength," but not the spiritual soldier. We're under that armor. There was just a man. The armor was mighty, and it was strong, and it was designed for battle. But under that armor, there was a man, just like any other man, with fears, with weaknesses, with ignorance. He had no idea how the enemy would attack or what was ahead. So he needed more than just armor, and so do we. Notice what it says, praying. Friend, that's an action. That's an active word. It means do more than talk about it. I'll tell you what, we talk about we need to pray, and that we ought to pray, and prayer works. But friend, I want to ask us, how much do we really pray? How much do we really pray? Paul says, don't just talk about it, do it. Put on the armor, oh yes. Trust the Lord, oh yes. But pray. Do it. Do it. Pray. I'll tell you why. Why didn't God say for us to pray? Why did he tell these spiritual soldiers to pray? It's simple. We need it. We need help. because the enemy's coming. And that enemy wants to defeat us. And by the way, he will unless we're ready. He will unless we stand. And he's saying, Paul's telling us how we're to stand in the evil day. And part of that is praying. Listen, we need to pray. But that's not all that he says. He says praying always. That word always means all seasons. It means all the time. How often should we pray? Let me put it this way. We can't pray too much. The psalmist said it like this, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and notice, and he shall hear my voice. I want to tell you, we cannot pray too much, but we can surely pray too little. Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Those words, continuing and instant, have the idea of being earnest, of being serious, of being getting down to business. But they also have the idea of perseverance. It means we pray through the problem. Our prayer outlasts the problem. I talked about the hounds not long ago. Well, they would not quit. They refused to quit until they got their prey. And friend, I want to tell you, that's how we ought to pray. We should never give up until the problem is solved, until the need is met, until the answer comes, or until God says, quit praying, quit asking. We ought to keep praying. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, surely that means we don't walk around praying 24 hours a day, but it does mean that we're to be in the continual attitude of prayer to where when something's happening in our life, whether it's good or bad, the first thing we think is talking to the Lord, saying something to him. When something good happens, we ought to automatically say, Lord, thank you for that. I appreciate you being so good. When something bad happens, the first thing we ought to do is say, Lord, I need you. Help me to do the right thing. And when the Lord said through Paul, pray without ceasing, that's what he meant. Continue to pray and don't stop, as I've said, until the answer comes. But that's also what pray without ceasing means. Not only that we're to be in a continual attitude of prayer, but it means we're not to cease until the answer comes, till the battle ends, till the victory is there. That's what the soldiers did. Paul said that we're to pray always. That word always means all seasons, but it also means all occasions. In other words, no matter what's happening, in the glad times, we're to pray and thank him. In the sad times, we're to pray and ask him for help. In the bad times, we're to pray and say, Lord, I need you. All occasions, glad, sad, or bad, we're to pray. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He says, praying always with all prayer. That literally means anytime and anywhere. That means we can pray in our prayer closet. I hope you've got one. I hope you've got a special place that you've set aside just for prayer. Now, it may be, to be honest, the edge of the bathtub. It may be in a closet. It may be at the foot of your bed. Listen, find you a place, if you haven't already, that to where you can say, this is my place of prayer. Or you may cook supper at the same place, but that's where you pray. You may go out into the building, or like I do, out in the woods, but you find you a place. He says, with all prayer, anytime and anywhere. We can pray in the closet. We can pray in the church. We can pray in the car. We can pray while we're doing our chores. We ought to pray everywhere and all the time. But notice what it says. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, prayer, the word prayer here, is a general term that means talking to God. And by the way, that's what prayer is. We don't have to always be asking God for things when we're praying. We ought to be listening. We ought to be listening to him when we pray. How often do you pray and spend some time being quiet, listening to what the Lord says? Prayer is conversation with God. We speak to Him and then we hush and let Him speak to us. And prayer here is a general term that means talking to God. But he goes further and says, for all prayer and supplication. Prayer is general conversation with God, but supplication is specific request, asking Him. Remember the soldier? Remember what I said about the dagger being the sword? How we're to hand-to-hand combat? It's close, it's personal. Friend, that's what prayer ought to be. We ought to get personal. We ought to ask for specific things. I've said before, I'll say it again. Some of the things I pray for, if you knew about it, you probably would laugh at me or call me crazy. But you know what? God answers those prayers. It's amazing what God will do when we ask Him. That's why Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He in essence says, don't worry about anything. Listen, he says, worry about nothing, but pray about everything. We can pray about anything and everything. And when he says supplication, that's exactly what he means. Pray specifically what you desire, what you need, what you want. Pray that he would show you, he would help you. Pray. He says, listen, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. We dare not miss that phrase. In the Spirit means with aid of the Spirit. With aid from the Holy Spirit. Prayer should not be a form or a habit that we get into where we say the same words without thinking, ask the same request without a burden. We should pray in the Spirit. That literally means Him praying through us. We're told to walk in the Spirit. We're told to be filled with the Spirit in the Bible, but we're also to be praying in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit means He is in control of us. The Holy Spirit is controlling our lives as we walk through this world. And the Lord said, we're to walk in the Spirit, but we're to pray in the Spirit. That certainly means we're to yield ourselves to Him. Why do we have to be filled with the Spirit or being praying in the Spirit? I'll tell you why. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. Undoubtedly, the disciples had the same problem. They said, Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They never said, Jesus, teach us how to witness, even though they needed to learn. They never said, Jesus, teach us how to preach like you do. But they did say, Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. We need to be praying in the Spirit. Let the Spirit pray through us, because we do not know how to pray or what to ask for. That's why Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now specifically that verse is talking about when we're so burdened we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will pray for us and through us. But friend, I want to tell you, if we'll yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, He will tell us how to pray. We don't know how to pray and we don't know what to ask for. And that's why we need to be praying in the Spirit. Romans 8:27 says, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He searches the hearts of man, and the Spirit knows man, and the Spirit knows the Lord and His will. And He'll lead us to pray as we should. By the way, if we pray in the Spirit, we'll always pray right. We'll always pray the Father's will. I tell you what, when you first start praying, calm yourself for a moment. Realize and focus on the fact that you're approaching the very throne of grace in heaven. And you say, Lord, I yield myself to the Spirit. Direct me as I pray, I yield my thoughts to you. I yield my mind to you. I yield my requests to you. This is your time. Speak to me and through me as I pray. I said I've done that so many times before, I have no idea. I no doubt thousands of times, and every single time when I yield myself to the Lord in my prayer life, the first thing the Holy Spirit reminds me to say to the Father is, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being good to me. No matter what I'm going through, you've still been good to me. So pray in the Spirit, and you'll say the right thing, ask the right thing, and be in the right attitude. Notice what it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto. And watching thereunto. Remember, we're not just talking about somebody out in the woods praying. We're not talking about somebody that's closed himself up in the closet praying. We're talking about a soldier. And that soldier, if you will, has to pray with one eye open. Watching thereunto. That means to be alert. Why? Because the enemy's sneaking up. He wants to catch us off guard. Surprise is one of his greatest tools. If you can catch an enemy off guard, you have a really good chance of winning. By the way, that's what happened at Pearl Harbor. They didn't listen to the warning, and they got shocked and surprised, and my goodness, what a defeat for the United States of America. He says, while you're praying, be sure and be watching. Be sure and be watching. Watch thereunto. Because, listen, there's an enemy. Not only is he talking about watching thereunto because the enemy is sneaking up and you need to be ready, but I believe he's saying watch thereunto because there's something coming that you need. There's something good coming your way, and don't you miss it. So many times God answers our prayer and we forget to thank him. We just gobble up the goodies and forget to thank the one that gave them. We do not want to miss any good that comes our way. By the way, watching thereunto also means don't miss the opportunity. He's saying you're in a battle, but there's a chance for you to do something great. And you need to watch. You need to be alert. You need to not miss that opportunity, that open door. It may be somebody we get to witness to. It may be a testimony in a church or a handed out of a tract. I don't know what it'll be, but he says, while you're praying, as you're going through day, make sure that you keep your eyes open and be alert. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Boy, this is all through this scripture. That's what he's talking about, standing, withstanding, not giving up ground. Not being defeated, not being overcome. And he says this is important even in our prayer life. All perseverance, it means to continue to do something, to keep on going. But it carries with it this idea, with intense effort. It means to give your all. It means to keep on even though it's desperate and even though it's difficult. Listen, we're talking about a battle. We're talking about a war. That's not easy. That's difficult. And he said, persevere. He's talking about praying. Persevere in your prayer. Don't give up. Don't quit. Do you notice how he's repeating this thought through this verse? Acts 2:42 says they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine? That's good. And fellowship? That's good. And the breaking of bread? That's real good. And in prayers. They continued steadfastly in prayers. Now notice what Paul has done. He connects perseverance with prayer. When the battle gets worse, we should pray more. So many times when things get worse, the first thing we do is quit praying. Friend, that doesn't make a lick of sense. We should not quit praying. We should not even slack off praying. When things get worse, we ought to pray more. Pray more than ever. I know that's what Jesus did. Luke 22:44 says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. He's there in Garden of Gethsemane. when the devil's unleashed everything he's got. And when things got worse, he didn't give up. He didn't slack off. He prayed more earnestly. I can't help but think about Jacob. Genesis 32, verse 24 says, "There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me." The psalm said in Psalm 131, verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. He says, when I was so far down, I couldn't find the bottom. Listen, he says, I cried to the Lord. Psalm 18, verse 6 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord. That word distress means tight place. You ever found yourself in a tight place? You ever found a place where it didn't seem like there was any way out? I tell you, we need to pray. He says, praying always, and it says, with all perseverance. Keep on praying. But he doesn't stop there. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And supplication for all the saints. You know what he's saying? While you're fighting your battle, don't forget, there's a buddy beside you. They're going through a battle too. You're not alone in the war. There's other soldiers. There's other men that's fighting just like you. You're not alone, and they need your help. How? By praying. We need to stand with others in prayer. Colossians 4:12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. He says he prays for you fervently, laboring fervently in prayer. Why? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Friend, that ought to be our prayer for other people. For ourselves, sure, that's what this whole thing's about. Standing, withstanding. Don't give in to the evil day. Don't give in to the devil. Don't be defeated. Don't be overcome. Don't back up. Don't quit now. But listen, there's somebody around us. There's somebody behind us that they're in the same kind of battle we're in. And we need to pray for them, just like this brother did, earnestly laboring. You know what? That makes it sound hard. You know what? It is. And he says, for all saints. That means we're to pray for our family. That means we're to pray for our friends. That means we're to pray for our church. But listen, that also means we're to pray for our enemies. Jesus said, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And he is not suggesting that we pray, Lord, you get them. Lord, you make them pay. Oh, no. He's wanting us to pray that the Lord would enlighten them, show mercy on them, and help them get right and be burdened for them. Even those who have hurt us, we're to pray for. Paul didn't say, in supplication for most of the saints, or the ones we like, or the ones that like us. He said, all saints. That means family and friend and church and enemy, and that means everybody. But why in the world would he tell us to pray for others? I believe one thing is the fact that, listen, why should we pray for others? Because God told us to. That ought to be enough reason. 1 Samuel says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He said, God forbid that I would sin. Sin how? By not praying for those who need help. I want to tell you, we need to pray. He said we're to pray for all saints. Why? Because he told us to. But then also because prayer really does work. Prayer makes a difference. I'm telling you, I'm sitting in this little sound room tonight, and I'm not out on a bar stool or some flop house or under some overpass trying to sleep. I'm here and not there. I'm here and not in hell because somebody prayed for me. And guess what? The Lord heard them. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means it does a lot. It does more than we'll ever realize. Listen to me. Prayer does what God can do. And without prayer, we are useless, we're weak, and we're letting people around us suffer needlessly. He says we're to pray and offer up supplication for all saints. We're to pray for other people. It's called intercession. And we're to do that because prayer really does work. We're to pray for all saints because, listen, they're family. We're in a family. We're not enemies. We're not on opposite sides. We're in the same group. We're in the same boat. We're in the same family. And we ought to stick together like a family. Nobody ought to be able to say anything about your family member without you taking up for them. Now, that person saying something bad, they may be telling the truth, but they're family, and you take up for them. Friend, listen, we are to pray for others, all saints, because they're family. They're in the group. We need to pray for all saints because just like me and just like you, they need help. They're in the same battle we're in. They're in the same flesh we're in. The devil's fighting them just like he is us, and maybe even more so. Galatians 4:19, Paul said, "Oh, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." No doubt Paul had prayed for those people in Galatia before they got saved. But now they're saved, and he said, "I am travailing in prayer. I'm travailing like a lady about to give birth until Christ be formed in you. I am agonizing to God that he'll help you to be more like Jesus." Remember what happened to Job? It says in Job 42, verse 10, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." By the way, the verse doesn't end. "Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." I'm telling you, we ought to pray because that verse tells us we ought to. We're to pray for other people because the verse tells us to. But I want to tell you something. People around us need help, and we need to pray for them. They need us. Many people are quitting. Many people are discouraged. And promise you, listen, I promise you, part of the reason is we're not praying for them as we ought. Another reason we're to pray for all saints is because it gets us closer to them. It just connects us with them when we're praying for them. It is as though we feel their burden and we sense their need. And listen, that's a good thing in the family of God. It helps us identify with them. That may be one reason why Jesus said, "Pray for your enemies," because he says, if you'll pray for them, you'll not want them as an enemy anymore. We're to pray for all saints, listen, because it burdens us. Because it burdens us to see them going through what they're going through. Is that a good thing? Oh, yes, it is. I'd rather be broken, I'd rather be burdened, I'd rather hurt, I'd rather shed tears than not to care. Hurting and burdens and tears hurts, there's no doubt. But listen, I'd rather have pain because I care than not care. So listen, we don't feel like praying most of the time. But prayer, as we've seen in this verse, is as important as our armor. A lot of times, as I've said so many times, so often, the battle will be in the prayer closet itself of whether we pray or not. It's a battle when we get in there and start to pray, there's no doubt. But there's a battle before we even get in there. We'll fight against weariness, sleepiness, doubt, fear, but we must keep on. The Lord says through the psalmist, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." The Hebrew writer said it like this, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." I'll tell you, we're in a time of need. Well, guess what? We're in an evil day, and we need help. And the Lord said through Paul, we get that help by praying. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Friend, I want to tell you, we need to learn how to pray. I say that so often, but we need to learn how to pray. And Paul said, the Lord said, it's important if we don't want to be defeated to learn how to pray and to do it. Father, thank you. Thank you for being able to talk to you right now and know that you're listening. and know that you're able, and know that you love me inside of myself. I ask you, Lord, for grace for myself, for my family, for this church, for our country, for the world of saints that's fighting the battle. We are in an evil day, and we need your help. Help us, Lord, to put on the armor, and then to pray as we should, and then thank you for the victory. Amen.